And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
I am Tyler. Hello.
He is Tyler still. And we're the Couch Company Podcast, and we're gonna talk about some things today.
I'm tired at work.
Yeah.
Got a lot of crap for that.
The philosophy there, which is hilarious. It's such a Tyler thing. Like, the rationale is like, yeah, I can just sign my name Ty, and it's also like a thank you. It's like, and I guarantee nobody's taking it that way, by the way. Like,
they're just saying, take it either way. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, but I don't think they are. I think they're all just thinking, oh, he's going by Ty.
Whatever he calls me.
I think
all my cousins call me that. Everyone,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are only very few people that call me Tyler.
Well, yeah, everyone calls me John, and I think it's just because it's quicker. It's just easier. Yeah. Instead of Jonathan.
No Johnnies.
Oh, man. I hate Johnny. It's, dude, I just have, like, when I was in elementary school, they used to call me Johnny Bravo.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like it. I hated that.
Do they do the whole thing, though? Do they go Johnny Bravo? Like, do they give you the full name?
So yeah, they call me Johnny Bravo.
I feel like
Bravo.
That's better than just Johnny.
Yeah, but Johnny Bravo is not a great role model.
No.
You know what
no,
I mean?
He's
so
not.
It was a slight against me, I think. I mean, the dude's kind of jacked.
He's super, like, he's cool.
I think he thinks he's cool.
Yeah.
I thought I was cool. Maybe they were telling me something. Maybe they're trying
they were
to, like,
just giving you some friendly
advice,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I remember Johnny Bravo kind of, but I couldn't, like, tell you a specific episode.
I'm trying
episode.
To think of you now as, like, a blonde with, like, a big Elvis hairdo. Yeah.
He was kind of like Elvis.
Yeah.
Which is weird to think about.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. He was Johnny Bravo sucked, actually.
The show?
No, it was a fine show. It's just it's not a good show to
Yeah, I mean I think
confusing.
It's I think the point is, like, don't be like Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing though, like, he would always, you know, the women would slap the shit out of him, and you know.
Yeah.
He would get the coffee poured on his face.
Yeah.
That's kind of mean. Or the water. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it was funny, but it was also like, okay, I probably shouldn't act like this because people are not responding well.
But as a kid, I think that's the thing. It's like, yes, I agree with that. And, like, if you're trying to, like, cancel a show, right? And it's just like, okay, well, look how terrible this guy is. He's this misogynistic asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, that's valid. But as a kid, I don't know if you connect the dots so well, right?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, it's like pretty apparent. It's like, oh, he did this, then this happened to him.
I mean, maybe you're just more awakened than I am. Bless you. I don't know. I think as a kid, it's like, who's the main character of the show? Cool. Let me put it on a lunchbox. And
oh, yeah.
That's that.
I mean, Johnny Bravo was, like, rad.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, like, one of my favorite shows. I don't know.
No, that was, like, a in between, like, Dexter and, like, Courage or something.
Dexter was interesting. I just, like, feel like I think about those shows and it just seems like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, partially it's like, you remember when you'd be, like, sick and you'd just be watching, like, cartoons and stuff and, like, you'd be just delirious.
They all run together and they're all somewhat the same animation art style. It's a very Cartoon Network
Cartoon Network thing. Was interesting. Yeah. I think, a lot of the artists were the same.
I didn't like any of them. I hated that art style. I hated the,
really?
The weird, because it's like, I know this isn't true, but it's basically anime, just in a different way.
No
anime,
chance.
You have all the chibi and all this other stuff.
Mm.
And with Cartoon Network, it's the same thing where, like, eyes are popping out of their heads and their tongues are rolling out and their mouths and, like, they're jumping in midair and doing whatever.
But it's
very cartoon.
Yeah.
But then I like Batman, where it's like everything is just very
solid,
realistic, like, you know.
That makes sense, but I think, like, Cartoon Network was, like, I don't even know how to describe this. It was, like, dirty.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
Potty humor, gross, like, your nose is running.
But, for example,
and,
it's like when...
Slobber everywhere.
Yeah, when their eyes popped out of their head, you could see, like, their eye veins and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it
in anime,
good.
When you do that, anime is, like, super clean. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm just saying, like, taking you out of the quote-unquote realistic...
The extreme.
Yeah, like, as realistic as a cartoon can be.
Yeah.
Just going full-on, like... Even SpongeBob, to an extent, where it's, like, they do those weird, like, flashes to, like, a real sponge laying there, or like flashes to like
SpongeBob is great.
Just super like hairy, pory, gross.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
style as a kid, it always grossed me out.
No, I think that's interesting.
I don't know how we got here, but that's where my thoughts.
Well, you always talk about it. I feel like your brain goes there.
Yeah,
because you're an artist at heart.
I don't think I am. I still don't.
You
think
say
so.
That. I don't.
Yeah,
you're an art lover.
I guess
you appreciate it.
I'm a design lover. I don't think
you're
I,
design.
I,
lover.
I don't think I get art usually.
Well, design and art are pretty related.
They're kissing cousins. I just don't think that they're, you know, one to one. I think like good design is looking at the structure of something or the compartmentalization of something, where like an art is like throw the rules out or do, you know, like whatever.
It is interesting though that like you don't like that specific style, and yet you prefer the Batman style where it's loose.
It's looser, yeah.
It's looser, yeah. And you don't like the angular style that they transformed into. Because I would think that like based off that logic, you would like angular lines, straight lines, like very structured.
So
there's no, there's you know what I mean? There's no messing around in that kind of...
Yeah, so it's weird because as a kid... And honestly, even kind of going into my adult life, I don't like change at all. I feel once I feel 100%. Safe or once I feel comfortable with something, like that's my thing.
Right.
So with Batman, whenever the initial 84 episodes, well, it's not even, I think 84 is the total run. So let's call it like the first 50 episodes were a little bit more rough, a little bit more loosey-goosey with the animation style. And they weren't so close to like the Superman, which is like the really straight, dark, clean lines and everything's angular and stuff. So as a kid, I was always a fan of like round shapes, warm colors, that sort of thing. And I always equated triangles, squares, cool colors is like something to stay away from.
Right.
That's just how I don't know. That's how my brain worked. So then whenever Batman went a little bit colder and everyone had this kind of like angular triangle look to that, it put me off. I don't know. And it was like, it's not my Batman. It's something different.
Right. I feel like I'm probably the opposite because that's where I live. And then I go back and watch like the original Batman. And I still like it. I just think it does throw you off a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, this is what I'm used to.
Well, a part of that too is just even like the Robin, right? So like, I don't know if I talked about this before over the past 120 episodes we've done, but like Nightwing, right? So like Dick Grayson goes to Robin, short hair, whatever, goes to Nightwing, gets the long hair.
Yeah.
And my mom just didn't like long hair. She was like, guys shouldn't have long hair, guys shouldn't have pierced ears, whatever. Even though my uncles had long hair and pierced ears because they were children of the 70s. But it was weird because I just adopted those feelings. I just felt like, oh, this is a weird thing or this is a change. I don't like this. And so it was hard for me to say like, oh, Robin grew up and is now Nightwing. I didn't like that because it was different and stuff.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I just...
Have you come around on Nightwing?
Yeah. But okay. Also Nightwing cut his hair. So I think the long hair... like
Nightwing kind of what?
Cut his hair. Like
oh,
Superman at one point had long hair. And it was just like, I always equate... like my mom didn't like long hair on guys. And I was like, oh, I don't like it either. Oh. I had no basis for that. It was just like, it was different.
Well, you're young.
Yeah.
And you're
it was very impressionable.
Yeah, for sure.
Scares the heck out of me because it's like those throwaway lines and my mom probably even remembers saying that or whatever. That sticks with you, man. So then it's just like, you know, what do you tell your kids at all? Like, do I have to give like every type of advice or everything I ever tell them? Do I have to be like, take it with a grain of salt or here's a caveat?
I don't know,
or
dude.
Just try to be.
I don't think you can avoid it. You just got to do the best you can.
No.
My mom, dude, hated every show I watched, bro. Like SpongeBob, she hated SpongeBob.
Yeah,
she doesn't like the silly stuff or
yeah.
the obviously potty humor, things like that. Like she, I think our moms are kind of similar in that regard. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like SpongeBob was like a no go. Every Cartoon Network show ever was like a no go. Except like, I guess you're too old for Codename Kids Next Door. That was one of my favorites, dude.
Yeah, I'm a little.
Do you know what that one is?
I know what it is, but yeah.
I was like, dude, that was like, as a kid, that was like the coolest show. Like, oh yeah, these kids are like in the secret organization. They are like fighting the adults and the teen. Like, it was so interesting too. Like, the lore around that show is interesting because you have the adults, yeah, who's their own faction, and they have their own powers and stuff, and they're like the supervillains. But then you have the teenagers who are also at odds with the kids, and they're their own faction, but they don't like the adults either. So you have this like
enemy of Miami
triangle of power.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was like a great show. Man, that just brings me back too, because like back then you had like CartoonNetwork.com and stuff, and you have all those Flash games and like tie-ins to the shows and stuff. And I don't know, man, it was a different era. It was it was a weird time. It was fun, but yeah, Cartoon Network was weird. Cartoon Network was good though, but the big three was Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, and Disney Channel. You had none of that, right?
I did. I didn't have Nickelodeon. Cartoon Network was at the tail end. So like whenever I finally got Cartoon Network, it was pretty much done. Disney, it was weird because Disney we had for a brief time, but it was like channel 22 or something.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have got it, but somehow for a brief, let's call it a year, we somehow got that channel.
Yeah.
So we
were trying to indoctrinate you.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Fox 53 was the big one. For us.
I remember Fox 53. Yeah. They would do Sunday mornings.
Yep.
I forget what was on there. I think it was like Static Shock was on there. You don't remember Static Shock.
Huh.
That's like Batman Beyond, dude.
Okay.
So this is like after Batman. Like Batman Beyond's in the same universe.
It is. Yeah. Same voice actors and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Kevin Conroy does old Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
He's like the mentor to Terry, what's his last name?
McGinnis.
McGinnis? Is it actually? Dude, that's so awesome. I remember playing like the Batman Arkham games, and you can get the Batman Beyond suit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sick.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Like, that's my jam.
You can get the animated series.
Yeah.
And you like just look like a cartoon guy running around doing it. Yeah.
Dude, those are, man, like... What a great game. I was actually watching a video the other day. You remember like the Joker Funhouse, like what would you call that? Like Horde mode, I guess.
From the first one?
I think it was from the first one.
Yeah.
Or is it from... No, it might be City.
Well, they had it multiple things. City was when I actually like did like... Because they had like the challenge rooms where you're trying to like beat everyone up and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was City, I think. And... like the video was called, I was going to send it to you and I think I forgot, but the video was called like, this is what peak Arkham City gameplay looks like or something. The dude got like 5 million points.
Yeah.
With Nightwing. It was crazy.
If it's Nightwing, then it's definitely City.
But yeah. So that, it's City. He's like animation canceling shit. He's like destroying, he never drops a combo.
Yeah.
He never gets hit once. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And it was like, I got to send that to you. But, I don't know where I was going with that. Batman's great.
Batman's awesome.
But yeah, they had like Batman Beyond Sunday mornings and Static Shock. I don't think you know who Static Shock is, but he was in that universe too.
So and it's post Batman.
Yeah, it was. I think Static Shock was like original content. A lot of these cartoons, like you know, we talked about like Harley Quinn and stuff, like started with these shows.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze and his backstory and everything. Yeah.
Like, some of the best stuff DC's done. Like, DC, like, the animated stuff is the best.
Yeah.
I think it's the best version of DC. I mean, like, you can obviously argue the comics, of course, because that's, like, the original. But, like, even some of the best stuff that they have came from the shows.
Yeah.
Not the comics, which is really interesting. But, yeah, Static Shock was a original hero, I think, from it was like a different show, and I guess like a spinoff.
Interesting,
but they did like crossover and stuff.
Yeah,
like he's old in I don't know how the timeline works, but like when Batman Beyond's going on, I think Static Shock's old.
Well, that's the crazy thing is I remember, and maybe I'm wrong, but I remember like Spider-Man and X-Men crossing over for the animated series and stuff, and it's like with knowing how divided everything was, and it's Sony and Marvel and all this other stuff and all this going on. It's just like, it's crazy to think through that where, and maybe it isn't, maybe because like, I guess Sony, well, no, because I guess what, Fox owned X-Men or something nowadays. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know how any of that works, but
Dude, it was awesome,
the cartoon,
though.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the perfect, from a business standpoint, it's like, yeah, I always watched Spider-Man, very rarely watched X-Men, but the moment that started crossing over, it's like, oh, maybe I'll watch X-Men too, and then they'd get me into that, so.
Dude, the original crossover stuff, I'll never forget, like, you had Batman the Animated Series and you had Superman the Animated Series, and there was like two episodes where they crossed over.
Did they?
Yes.
Had it been on the end, like towards the later ones.
I don't know.
Whenever there's like the same art style.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think you're right. It was probably like the later seasons, but yeah, I remember that episode specifically. Like Bruce Wayne goes to Metropolis on a business meeting, and then he's like trying to figure out who's Superman. Like, there's like this iconic shot of Superman like waking up in his apartment, and you just see Batman like with binoculars like across the way, and he just swings down. And it's like,
yeah.
I was like, dude, that guy's so fucking cool. And he's like hitting on Lois Lane and stuff as Bruce Wayne. The dude's like unbeatable, bro. He's like, how do you beat this guy? He's too good.
Yeah.
Like, you have a super god from Krypton. Batman's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although Batman. I love Superman. And I was arguing with Jeff about this, our good friend. Who hates Superman for some reason. Dude, Superman's great. Superman's like a great hero. I just don't, it's like, everyone's like, oh, he's just OP. Like, yes, he's OP. Which, look, just because you're OP doesn't mean you're a bad character. Like, look at Saitama, dude. Saitama is awesome.
Right.
And his whole shtick is that he's OP.
Yeah.
I was kind of poking fun at Superman-esque characters. But if you're written well, it's like it's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, can Superman win? It's like the fact that he's this strong and he has to show this restraint and he has to, like, you know what I mean? He doesn't want to kill anyone.
Right.
That's, and that he can't save everyone. I love that.
That's the thing, though, is I don't want a gritty Superman.
No.
I want, like,
Superman
a,
always
like
has
Boy
to be,
Scout, like,
yes.
Super.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in the animated shows, bro, he was always like the counter to Batman.
Yeah.
Batman was the dark,
yep,
and Superman was the light, and that's how it has to be structured, and that's why they're at odds with each other so much. And they did that so well in the show, where it's like they have mutual respect for each other, but they do not like each other.
Yeah, like they do the opposite. It's the same solution of we're going to solve this problem.
Yeah,
but Superman typically takes the high road, and Batman's like, all right, well, I'm just going to get it done.
Yeah, but Batman also, like in that show, it's just done so well. Like their ideologies just clash so much. Where it's like, Batman's like, I will not join the Justice League. You guys sit up here like gods. You don't understand the people. Like, you can't relate to them. You're too powerful.
Says the billionaire.
Yeah, but like, it's another level. Like, they create the space station or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, how can you guys sit up here with a laser pointed at Earth and think that, you know, the people are going to feel safe? Like, they're scared of you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I fight for the people. Batman's man of the people. As a man of the people myself, I can identify another man of the people.
Sure.
Even though he's a billionaire.
Even though.
But he's the most humble billionaire.
I guess.
I don't know.
I guess.
Batman's great. But my point is, like, they did that well throughout the stretch. It's like they clash, you know what I mean? And then they have those moments where it gets heated. And
that's
like,
the best parts of Justice League, is any time that they were on the screen together or it was a group effort type of thing.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Anytime it's just, I don't know, Aquaman and Hawkman, it's just like, okay, or Hawk
Dude,
Girl, or
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, look, I look at it with rose-tinted glasses.
Sure.
Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
I just love that show, and I watch it as an adult, and I still love it.
Yeah, I mean, as you should, sure.
Like, dude, even, like, WandaVision, like, Justice League had an episode like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, I don't, they were, like, the first, bro. They were, like, the first with all these interesting, I'm sure there was probably comics or something. But, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Like, I just remember everyone was like, oh, this is so unique. WandaVision, I'm like, dude, this is literally an episode in Justice League. Like,
who did it better?
Yeah, I mean.
I get you.
You know?
Nothing's new anymore anyway. They're just rehashing same thoughts.
No, well, especially these days, but it just felt like back then. I mean, maybe it's because I was a kid, but back then they went for it more.
Yeah,
you know?
It's novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the episode where Flash dies.
Spoilers.
In the other universe. And then they all go evil because Flash is the one that keeps them. He's like the heart of the Justice League.
Which is stupid. That's silly.
No, it's not.
That's silly.
Wally West, the best Flash, by the way.
Oh.
Is, yeah, 100%.
All right.
Well, you Barry Allen guy.
I guess it depends on what.
I just.
Carnation.
Well, of course, like, I'm biased to the show. Like, Wally West is just like the lighthearted comedy relief.
So Wally West is the Justice League one?
Yeah.
Huh.
Barry Allen wasn't in the show. So like Wally West is my favorite Flash. John Stewart's my favorite Green Lantern.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? Like I never liked
Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan. Yeah. I thought he was like super, because like what Hal Jordan we got? We got like the live action movie that was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
With what's his face? Ryan Reynolds. Like which Hal Jordan did we get that's good?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Maybe like the Injustice games. He's good in that.
Yeah.
But again, dude, John Stewart was like the best. He was the coolest to me.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting because like Wally West was super, he was like the lighthearted guy. Everyone's super serious in that show and he's like the comedy relief. And then you take that away and it's like they go
just
crazy.
On Wonder Woman the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I love this show.
It's a good show. I will not.
Nah, you hated it, but it's okay.
I didn't hate it.
Well, you hated like Superman's power level or something.
Yeah, I did hate that.
It's a cartoon, man. You got to like relax.
Yeah, well.
But that's what, dude, at the end of the show, that's what makes it so sick. It's like Darkseid's fighting him and he's like, oh, I don't have to hold back now and just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, which is cool, but like that's the kind of stuff that I want to see the entire time, or just like have a reason on why
he's holding back so he doesn't destroy the world.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like think about it. If someone punched him and he like just took the punch, he's gonna break that person's body.
Yeah.
And they're gonna blow up.
Sure.
He doesn't want to kill them.
That's all you need to do.
Man, I remember speaking of like the evil Superman, like he fights Doomsday and he fucking lobotomizes him. You remember that one?
No.
He's beating the shit out of Doomsday and he like heat visions him in the brain. This is a kid's show. And then they go to his universe and Arkham Asylum's filled with all the criminals and they all have two holes in their head and they're all like super like nice and like the Joker's walking around and like
that's in Justice League?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
yeah, dude.
I need like a guide on like which episodes are worth seeing.
Oh, dude, in the one with did you see the one with Joker and the Royal Flesh Gang?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
I think it was in that was one of the first ones.
It was in like the first season or something. Yeah.
There was a point when I just went through, watched all the Joker episodes and then went back. And I think that might have been the issue is like I front-loaded all my favorites. Like, anytime it said Batman or Joker, they were on the thumbnail, I'd watch that first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was
I should give you like a list of like my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's kind of the same with like Clone Wars and stuff, where there's a guide out there on like, here's what you can skip, here's what you need to watch.
Well, it's like, there is like an overarching story, but it's very, you don't need to go in order.
Dude, there was like nothing in the first season.
No, I think the first season was like kind of just establishing like, all right.
Episodic, is this working? Yeah.
Yeah, like, is this working? And then like as you, I think Unlimited, which is like the sequel to that, is where they really start doing some more of the overarching.
Yeah.
Actually, no, not really. Because like the last season of Justice League, that's when, there's like a really pivotal plot to that with like Hawk Girl and stuff. And then that's where the show ends, and then they pick it up X number of years later in Unlimited. But that's like a catalyst for Unlimited happening, and then like they reference that. It's like, I don't know, it's interesting.
At least
like
there's a link there, because that's the same continuity thing with like Batman. So you have the animated series, and then you have like the New Adventures of Batman and Robin,
right?
Or whatever, and that's like the bridge.
Yeah, but they like reference. Yeah. I like that. Obviously, it's like an established timeline or whatever.
One day. Maybe.
I don't know, bro. I'm just saying. That's like one of my favorite shows of all time.
Valid.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Superman's great. Superman's a great character.
Is he as good as Spider-Man?
Yeah, I was like thinking about this. It's like, Spider-Man might be one of the best characters ever written.
Yeah.
Like, not even just superheroes. Like, just best characters. Because it's like, it's the best of both worlds. Like, right? Like, he's a superhero. Like, he's super strong and stuff. And has these amazing abilities that people can't do. But he's also unbelievably relatable.
Yeah.
More so than Batman. I mean, Batman's not relatable really at all. Batman's
not relatable at all.
Yeah, but, like, Batman has this weird thing where he's super... He's also equally as unrelatable, but everyone gravitates towards him more because he doesn't have superpowers. Like, he's literally just a guy, like a rich guy doing things. Like an Iron Man type situation too, you know?
Yeah, but even more so, where like Batman is, if you just get good at martial arts, you could be Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something crazy about that, man. I don't know. That is an interesting point. Like, Batman is like more relatable than Iron Man.
In a way.
But they're both kind of the same.
Because you can't do Iron Man right now.
Right.
So, like, there are two things. One is, like, Batman. You can't do Batman in that you can't do the grappling hook like he does a grappling hook.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't do some of that stuff.
Sure.
But when it comes to actually, like, fighting crime, if you have Batman and you have Iron Man, you can do Batman stuff. Iron Man, you're in a tin can that can't move or something. You know, like, you can't do that.
So. Also, Iron Man gets like so crazy by the end. I mean, I don't know which Iron Man we're talking about, I guess.
Just
like
in general, like just, I mean, the
when he gets the nanotech and everything. Yeah. You know? Right. And it's like, oh, he's like super OP now. Batman's always just like, you know, he's got that shark repellent for that situation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
he has that sick belt.
Dude, Batman's just crazy good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Spider-Man is more relatable from a person standpoint, I guess.
I think it's because he's... And this is what Marvel does better than DC, too, where they actually use real Earth.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, fake cities and stuff, where it's, like, he's swinging through New York. We know what that is. We know the Empire State Building. Yeah. It's just iconic, you know what I mean? It's, like, very cool to see. And it's, like, I think the location... really does a good job of establishing like that relatability as well, where it's like he's like the protector of New York, like he's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, you know what I mean? So yeah, you don't get that because Gotham's just like this weird hellhole, unrealistic.
Yeah, what is that, like Chicago, I think, typically that's what they go for.
Yeah, I guess
Pittsburgh, if you want to do one of the movies.
Gotham's a bad place, man.
Yeah, Gotham's terrible.
I was looking at the Arkham games again, and I'm like, dude, this place is so depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, great. They did an amazing job.
Like, the one thing I don't relate about Batman, and maybe this is just saying something about me as a person. If my parents got gunned down in front of me when I was a kid, I don't know if then I would dedicate my life to like fighting crime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, like, time heals all wounds.
I'd probably take the $1 billion.
Yeah, and... like, I feel like I'd be sad, for sure.
Yeah.
But to be like, all right, well, now my entire life... And, like, I understand it's like, okay, well, I'm on this path. I'm just going to just really stick it to the bad guys, whatever. But, like, Batman's still, like, is crying and stuff with his parents. And, like, dude, you're a kid. Like, you're, like... I don't remember half the stuff like from when I was a kid, right? Like,
I think you'd remember that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I would, but like, I don't know.
He was,
man,
like eight, though. He was like 10 or something.
Even eight. Like,
you
it's just,
remember shit when you're like 8 to 10.
But are you going to be like as traumatized? Because like, he's acting like he has like this photographic memory of like, He remembers exactly how he felt that day.
He's Batman, dude, of course.
I guess, man. I don't know.
Dude, when you're a Wayne, you're just born to be different.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, Thomas Wayne was crazy good.
Yeah.
And so was Bruce Wayne. But Bruce Wayne is sadder, therefore he goes crazy. I mean, he goes crazy.
Yeah,
right?
That's
he
what
goes
I mean. Crazy. That's my point. Is he's insane, where it's just like...
And I will say, like, the Pattinson kind of demonstrates that pretty well. Yeah. He's like, but again, I think he's too brooding in that one.
He so
for my taste.
But it does a good job focusing on the fact that like he just hates corruption. He hates the city and the city's depressing and terrible. Like, absolutely focus on that. Just it's less about like where, you know, the older Batmans, where it's like, I think it's like Forever probably, where he's having all this like psychiatrist trauma and stuff about like reliving those pearls falling on the ground. Stuff.
Right.
Like, yeah, dude, that was like 30 years ago. Like, I don't know.
But to me, it's always like you need the dichotomy between Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yeah.
And like to demonstrate that he's like a psychopath, like he can act like a rich billionaire, happy.
I wanted the guy. So Harvey from Suits
should
be Batman. 1,000%. Wow, like
that's a pull.
And he should be. I think he was in the running.
Really? For this most recent one?
Because I was like, it has to. Like, there's no way somebody is watching him just be Harvey from Suits and not be like, that's a perfect Bruce Wayne.
It's a perfect Bruce Wayne, but it's like, can he do Batman? Can he do the gruff?
There are a couple of times when he's like screaming at somebody or like got really deep or like really serious and just like, there it is. Mm. And it's not all the time, but it's like, we haven't had that like perfect Bruce Wayne. And like, Christian Bale did like fine on certain things and like it was written, but it was like very, like, it wasn't to the level that I wanted as like a Bruce Wayne thing. I don't know. Like,
Who do you think the best Bruce Wayne?
Best Bruce Wayne? Probably Christian Bale. I would say.
You don't think shit.
I mean, there's Michael Keaton, there's Val Kilmer, there's George Clooney.
Most recent. Not the most recent, second most recent.
Ben Affleck. No, I don't think so.
You don't like him as Bruce Wayne?
No, I liked Ben Affleck's Batman. So that's the funny. So I forget whatever Harvey's name is. I keep just saying Harvey Specter from Suits, but
his name
he
is.
He put a tweet out that says like, "Hey, I had scheduling conflicts with Suits, but best of luck to Ben Affleck."
Oh, back when
I don't know if it was Batman v Superman or what, but he put that out there.
Dude, DC sucks.
I think he could be really good. Sorry,
you said Batman v Superman. I'm like, that was so bad, and everything's bad, and
yeah.
God, they were like rebooting everything again. Flash was terrible. I heard. I didn't even go see it.
Flash was the worst. Super. I think I might have already said this, but I can say that I think Flash was the worst superhero movie I've watched.
It's just, I don't know, man. Like, what do you do? What do you do at this point? Like, he's trying to reset everything.
Well, you have to. You have to reset everything.
You have to, but it's just doomed. It's just doomed. Just go back to what you do best, which is the animated show.
Just get out of it.
Start milking that again, man. But they don't have the... I guess that's like... You can't have the audience... Like, it's either animation's too expensive or takes too long or it's too difficult or there's not the audience for it. It has to be something because DC has demonstrated by far that is the best that they do.
Yeah.
Whether it's the original shows or those movies always do better than the fucking live action stuff. Like they just can't do
right.
And that I think it's I feel like we've talked about it, but I feel like it's a product of like DC's too ridiculous to do live action. You're going to have a shit ton of CGI. You're going to but have
I would argue Marvel is more that way.
I don't think so.
How?
Who's their Superman? Like, let's talk like original Infinity Saga Marvel.
Yeah.
You have Captain America. That's okay. Grounded. Iron Man.
Not grounded.
Not grounded. Hulk, not grounded.
Thor, not grounded.
Hmm.
when you think about how much CGI is in that, like,
okay,
that's
but let's compare it. So you have Batman, who's always like, Batman's going to be the easiest live action.
Sure. Joker, no superpowers. Scarecrow, no superpowers. Riddler, no superpowers.
Right.
Calendar Man, no superpowers.
But Superman and all his villains, that's CGI fest.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Keep your Superman out of my Batman movies.
But you have to cross over these days. You have to have it
as
a universe.
Yeah, and then that's when you have, like, I don't know, Doomsday run through and just start blasting.
He did have Doomsday. He looked terrible.
Well, they
changed his backstory. Dude,
stuff.
Doomsday's backstory is sick.
Yeah.
And they made the guy from the Facebook movie be the bad guy. And then, my God, he like grew him or something.
Yeah.
Or he was, I don't even remember.
Cloned him up. And
Doomsday's sick, bro. Lex Luthor. Doomsday.
He looked cool as Lex Luthor when he actually shaved his head and stuff. But he was too, he didn't make it, he was too young.
No, you need the guy from Smallville?
Michael Rizmon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is Flash in the... Yeah. I always say that, but yeah. I think it's interesting.
It is interesting.
And there's that one episode where Flash and Lex Luthor switch bodies, so it was like a play on that, because he was voicing Lex Luthor.
Could he do... Yeah. Could Michael Rizmon do a silver screen? Is it silver screen? Is that...
What?
Is that movie silver screen? Or is that TV?
I think that's TV, right?
Okay.
The,
so what's the... Is it
what?
Golden screen? What do you call the movies?
I don't know.
Okay. Could Michael
could
Rosenbaum...
Could he be in the movies?
...do a movie as Lex Luthor? Probably.
Why couldn't he? He's great. Wasn't he great in the show?
He is great, but part of the reason why he was so great in the show is because it worked and you kind of grew up with him and you saw him transform into this kind of like... evil dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of backstory there where, like, if you just dropped him in,
could he do it?
Could he command it as much as, like I thought Kevin Spacey was going to be a fantastic Lex Luthor just from, like, the trailers and stuff. And then I watched that movie and it was like, man, what a disappointment.
Yeah, I don't think so. Lex Luthor is like,
he needs to be cool. He can't be unhinged. Cool. He needs to be cool.
Yeah, he's not a crazy guy. He's like calculated.
He's a calculated, smart. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not chaotic. He's a lawful crazy.
Yeah.
Or lawful evil.
What about like an Idris Elba? Or like a really...
Lex Luthor?
Yeah. Like Idris a really Elba. Like kind of gravelly, gruff guy. I don't know.
Like trying to picture it. Idris Elba was so good. I mean, I'm still like, man, Cyberpunk was just incredible, dude. It's like so, such a good game. I can't wait till you play it.
I just deleted it.
Oh, so you're not going to play it?
Eventually, someday.
No, I don't think
I'm not doing it this year, though. I've moved on to bigger and better things.
Aren't you, like, done?
With what?
Like, the games you wanted to play this year?
No, I started Alan Wake.
Oh, that's right.
Holy crap, is that... Like, you think Spider-Man looks good?
I do think Spider-Man looks good.
Oh, this is... It's a different kind of good. This game is... Might be...
Is it on PC or is it just...
Yeah, PC.
Yeah, oh, well.
So let me put it this way.
Partly.
I have most things on low. That's how crazy this game
really?
Is.
Really?
And it looks like the character models and stuff and everything look better than Spider-Man.
Does it run well?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I have to run it on low. Yeah. A lot of
dude,
stuff
your
on
rig's
low,
like really good.
Yeah, Digital Foundry put out a thing of like, here's the recommended settings and everything. And it's just like... To match the PlayStation or whatever, it's like everything's just on low. So like I turned everything up, and it looks like a live action thing, but it chugs it like 4 or 5 frames a second.
If you have the best rig right now,
can't get 60 out of it.
Even get
no,
close.
It's 40-90. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this will be a game. This will be.
This is like you revisit it back in the day, and yeah.
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 You get the full potential.
Is
this like a benchmark kind of game?
Probably, because I think it's like well enough optimized. Like, people gave it so much crap because they were like, oh, and I'm making this up, but it's like the lowest card you should have is like a 3080 or something. I'm making that up, but it's like it was a pretty high spec card for that. And people are like, this is stupid. There's not optimized and stuff. But then you play it and you're just like, even turning everything down as low as it can go, this game looks really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't think it could pull off like a Spider-Man swinging through a city type of thing at that fidelity, but like the type of game that it is, it's all close quarters. It's like a I would say probably closest thing would be like a Resident Evil-esque thing. But so far it's kind of wild.
Play your strengths though. I mean, like that's
Dude,
like we talked about this before too. It's like back in the day, you would have to be creative like that. Where you either create a game where the point is it's very close quarters to save that memory, or you have the illusion of a bigger place than it actually is.
So the thing with this, and I know we weren't going to necessarily talk about this, but I played like an hour and a half of it, but they overlap live action video on stuff, and they like all the pictures in the game are like real pictures of people and stuff. And it's really, it's just weird right now.
It's very jarring.
Like, I don't know what to do. It's not jarring. That's the crazy
usually
thing.
That's jarring.
Normally,
when I do stuff like that.
Normally it's like, okay, well, there's a very clear distinction. And I'm not saying that it's like, the animation, like the walking animations are very like, okay,
it's a video game.
Yeah. But like the environment is really good. The lighting's really good. Anytime you do like a close up of something, like I don't think I've seen a better close up of a video game face where like it's almost there. It's bizarre, dude. Like the first 5 seconds of the game, you are this butt naked dude, like getting sacrificed. Like I can't even like it's
Diablo
bizarre. It's not Diablo, but it looks way better than Diablo.
Well,
yeah,
Diablo's
apples and oranges, but this one's just it's so weird. It's creepy so far. And yeah. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna play it.
I don't like horror games. I actually walked out of my room. The only downside is there's no. I'm spoiled with Spider-Man just being able to like save and then you're done.
Yeah.
With this one, it's like you have to find a save point. Like you have, it's like very old school. Resident Evil. Yeah. So it's like, well, the last time I saved was 40 minutes ago, and I'm like, oh god,
yeah.
Like where can I go to like save it so I can stop and
imagine your game crashes.
Yeah,
that would suck.
Yeah,
that would be awful.
We should talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man might be one of the best characters ever written.
Sure.
Dude, it's just like, I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
I was talking about Spider-Man 2, the video.
I know,
game,
but
just for the audience. We're not
to
going
go to go back to him. How we were talking before. That was the bridge. But yeah, Spider-Man 2, man, an interesting game, man. Another good game to add to 2023.
We both finished it.
We both finished it.
So last week we were in the 4-hour mark or around then. We were starting.
Just like halfway through.
Yeah,
not really, but like close.
But then, yeah, we
beat it. Yeah, so we're gonna review it. Yeah. We're gonna review it. So Tyler has the structure on how we're gonna do reviews now. So I'll let you.
It's a loosey goosey structure.
Yeah, loosey goosey.
We're gonna.
It's a structure more structured than we've been.
We're putting it through 4 pillars of our review process. It's not groundbreaking, but
it's not the strongest shape. It's only 4 pillars.
It's the strongest shape.
No, because we need a triangle to be the strongest shape.
Why?
It's nature's strongest shape.
Okay. Well,
right?
We're going to do 4.
I know. I'm just saying. We could do like a, let me think here. Could do a pyramid, right?
Could do a pyramid.
That's
the
4
pyramids
pillars?
Aren't 4.
How many pillars is it?
They like go in. Right, so it's like almost like triangles in the pyramid.
Yeah, but you have 4 pillars at a diagonal that lead to the point.
Yeah, but it's...
Is that not a pillar?
I wouldn't say a pillar.
Like a
I would think it was vertically. Anyway.
I don't know.
All right, we are going to talk through... we're going to talk through gameplay. My favorite. So, like the novelty factor, the fun factor, what type of genre, what the gameplay loop is, that sort of thing. We're going to talk about... The story and characters, which is your favorite thing.
It's my favorite.
Usually.
My favorite.
So how memorable they are, what kind of pacing you got in the story, does it like drag or anything? The wow factor, if there are these kind of like special moments that, you know, stick with you. And then how interesting it is. And I think we could probably put in like maybe voice work. I don't know if voice work goes in here or if it goes more to the sound design. But sound design is another pillar, so we're going to talk about like the immersion, the sound effects, the music, and we could probably say voice work goes in there. And then finally, like the overall presentation. So like, what are like the little things that are just like, oh, that's cool, they did that, or the UI, or you know, the performance and different things like that. So we could probably like graphics and things.
Right.
But those are it. So what pillar would you like to start with? Do you want to start with your story? Talk, give the why Spider-Man is the coolest character ever.
Yeah, I can start with story. Man, the story was interesting.
Real quick, spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that should go without saying.
Yeah,
but we are going to review the heck out of this game. It's going to be spoiler ridden. We're going to talk about probably everything.
I already spoiled like the whole DC animated show.
That's fair. Yeah, so let's keep going with
let's just spoil everything.
Spider-Man.
Anyways, yeah, okay, so the story. Interesting. I don't even know where to start here. I've been trying to rack my brain on how I felt about this story.
Okay.
And the characters and everything. So I think the conclusion that I've determined is I think the story overall is solid. Like, when you're talking about the Venom kind of storyline in Spider-Man. It's classic. It's mm-hmm. one of the best arcs Spider-Man goes through. You know what I mean? It's always, I mean, Venom's like a fan favorite. Like the symbiote Spider-Man suit's always going to hit, dude. Edgy Peter Parker's always great.
Yeah.
It's like you have all these things that are awesome. So you have this unique situation, though, where Kraven's involved. And I thought that was a very unique way to bring back some of the old villains and kind of demonstrate Kraven's power and reach and scope and have like an army of bad guys. It was like, I think it makes a lot of sense having him be the villain and everything like that. So I think overall the story was solid, but I don't know if you feel the same way, but I kind of felt like there's some pacing issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, I listened to some other reviews to try to see if people were thinking similar to me. I don't think people were kind of talking about that. So maybe it's just a me thing, but when you're talking about Venom, it's this descent into madness kind of thing, or this descent into being a dick or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just seemed a little inconsistent. So Harry had it first, and that's how he cured his disease. But he wasn't affected by it at all. We didn't see any outbursts. We didn't see any...
He was just super nice.
He was super nice. He was like unbelievably nice. And like, look, I liked his character a lot. I think he was a solid character, like a good friend to Peter and things like that. And I, you know, the whole angle on them doing the startup and things, like I liked all that, but we didn't see, like, we had no inclination except that we like literally knew that he had it based off like the first game or whatever. Except the one scene where he's at the carnival and he like breaks the hammer thing, like the test.
But that
of strength.
Wasn't even like a bad thing. That was just like, exactly. Oh, he didn't know how strong he was.
Like, it wasn't like, yeah. You know, so you know what I'm saying, where it's like we got no foreshadowing that Venom's corrupting people and making them angry, right. Or like bringing out the worst in them. He was super nice. And it's weird because he starts to become a dick when he loses Venom.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he gets angry. That's when you see him rage out, when he doesn't have him. So it's like the opposite effect that it has on everyone else, because Peter is normal until he gets it, and then we see him turn into a dick.
Yeah.
So that, I didn't, maybe I'm missing something, but it seemed very inconsistent on how that worked. And maybe I'm just like going too into the weeds here, but that kind of threw me for a loop.
Well, no, it's not too into the weeds, because this game is set up as Kraven is the bad guy.
Yep.
He's going to come in and he's just hunting people.
Yeah.
And like, that's really it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no actual payoff. There's no anything. It's just like, you don't really see him ever. And every time that you see him, either like he just runs away. Like, he only comes in to like take a shot at, like to snipe you, or to like continue like the cutscene along. Like, you're never actually like going after him or whatever.
No.
And it's such a weird thing. And then it's this like, oh, now Venom's the main bad guy, and now we're in this like weird science fiction-esque thing. And it's like, it felt like two completely different thoughts and two teams working on like, how do you, it didn't really gel. It was just like, oh, there's Venom now, and oh, dang it, we forgot about Kraven. Bite his head off. That's fine.
Yeah, like here's phase one of the game, and here's phase two of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't that bridge.
Yep.
I agree with that a lot. I think Kraven was kind of disappointing because he's such a cool character.
They didn't do anything with him.
They didn't do anything with him. And it's like all these revelations happen when you're like snooping around, and there wasn't really weight to it. It's like, oh, looks like he's dying. Oh, looks like,
yeah,
here's his motivation. He's trying to find the perfect hunt. It seemed really lackluster. You're literally just snooping around by yourself, and you kind of just say this to yourself, and it's like, there's no face-to-face with him. He's like, this is why I'm doing this. I mean, there was a little of that at the end when he's fighting you, but like,
dude, you're exactly right. There's no that many people.
Well,
he has these armies unlimited. Of just like, I don't know. There's no other like,
there characters. Wasn't any tease throughout the game. Like, a good villain, you get teased throughout the game.
Yeah.
you fight them. He stops you. He's putting obstacles in your way. Mm-hmm. He's interjecting, you know, whether it's physically or otherwise. And it wasn't that. It's like he disrespected Spider-Man. He's like, oh, you're nothing. I'm going after Scorpion. Yeah. Or I'm going after Lee or someone.
And you're like killing these guys.
And so you're destroying his army.
Yeah, like I'm saying like even Kraven is going through and it's like, oh, I killed Scorpion.
Yeah.
Oh, I killed this guy. Yeah. I killed and it's just like, oh, this guy's serious. Like he's just going through and just picking people apart. And then it's just like there's
But he never cares about Spider-Man.
Right.
Like you would think, oh, Spider-Man's gonna be a good hunt, but then he only respects him once he gets a suit, and I'm like, I don't know. I kind of don't buy that. I feel like Spider-Man's destroying your army.
Well, he crushes Spider-Man in like 2 seconds. And then it's just Harry fighting him
in
the background.
But he's crushing everyone.
Right.
My question is, why is Spider-Man on the list, I guess? That's my question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't care.
Again, maybe I'm grasping at straws. But anyways, back to the symbiote thing. So it reacts differently to Harry versus Peter. And Peter gets it. And I think the pacing specifically there was not handled well, in my opinion. Like, we don't see a descent into madness. I felt like 1 minute I'm like fine, saving the day, and the next minute I'm like telling Dr. Connors that he's a fucking failure and his family left him, which was like really cool moment. Like, holy shit, like this is what I need, like the juice. But there wasn't that bridge. I just felt like on a dime, I just became like bad.
When Peter had it. Is what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that, but I didn't see a I like to imagine a slow descent. Like, you know, I could have used more like when you're, you know, when you're doing that chase on the river and like you save the one guy and you kind of throw him aside, like little things like that.
Yeah.
I could have used more of that.
Yep.
Like little snaps. Like you get the one moment where he fucks up this one guy and he's like, oh, that wasn't me. But it was only like a couple of those things. I want to see more and them getting worse and worse. And then the payoff is like you're saying these horrible things to Dr. Connors. You're saying these horrible things to Miles or MJ or whatever.
Yeah. I'm with you. I guess it depends too, like how much you mainline the main story versus, because like you get these little hints. So if you do like the random like events that pop up and things like that, his dialogue is different. He is a little bit more angry and direct.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no one's burning this down, or like, I'm going to burn you down, or whatever. Like, the way he talks about stuff, the jokes go away and stuff.
Okay.
Which is good. The problem is it's not consistent. So that's the issue that I had that kept taking me out of it, is it seemed like for the fact that game like records two lines, one if you're swinging, one if you're walking, like all these different things, there are certain missions where like, okay, you know that he's kind of going into this anger territory and madness and the symbiote's taking hold and stuff. But if you like did a mission out of order, or if you pulled a mission that like doesn't really involve in that storyline, they're pulling in the lines of him like, oh, hey guys, it's just like, that's not what your attitude was like 5 seconds before whenever you were like beating the pulp out of whoever, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's tough to do an open world game like that when you have these like very specific instances. I get that. But yeah, it was like they flipped a switch. They went off the rails. I shouldn't say off the rails. It was consistent in that like they knew what they wanted to do and they were going with the story.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't like to have Mr. Negative come in. And
that seems so forced.
It's a new character from the first game that then like murders Miles' dad, and then by the end they're shaking hands and
look, it's like, I know he didn't mean to like murder his dad or whatever. He was like trying to get back at Osborn.
Sure.
Because Osborn killed his parents or something. So he was like I'm gonna burn the whole thing down, and it was collateral. But yeah, it was like, I just think like they went from A to C, and there was no B in a lot of these instances. I would have liked to see more of a transition. Like, it just seems like, oh, now we're good now, right? And I know Miles was like, we're not good, but, you know, I'm not going to hate you anymore or something. But still, it just seemed forced too quick. I don't know what the answer is there.
Does it hurt it where it's like you kind of know what was coming? Like, I understand, like, you know Venom.
It's super obvious.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, wait a minute, that bell makes the symbiote angry or whatever. And it's just like there are a lot of these throwbacks and callbacks and different things like that. And it's like,
I would have loved to see, this is like my sick head, where like Peter keeps the suit and just becomes a villain.
So I thought they were going to go in that direction.
Like, what? How crazy? Yeah, like, and then Miles has to, like, kill him or something?
I thought that was going to... I was hoping for it.
Crazy would that
be? That would have been awesome.
That would have been crazy. Like, you think you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Boom.
I was really hoping that it was going to be something to that effect, because they were teasing a lot of stuff. Like, who's Venom and stuff?
Right.
People, like, day one were like, oh, no, it's going to be Harry, right? Like, yeah, that's going to be that's who Venom is.
The obvious.
And I was really hoping that it was going to be kind of this, throw for a lark and just be like, oh, no, it's actually Peter Parker. He's the bad guy now. And then this is a Miles Morales game. That could be really, really cool.
That'd be interesting.
Or the fact that like Venom actually isn't the big bad, and you have this kind of anti-hero, like you just play as Venom now, right? So instead Spider-Man, it's like, no, now all those, like all your ability trees and everything. Because I'm like, how does Spider-Man keep all these powers? Like, I don't want to put all these abilities into his like quote unquote Venom powers if we're going to cure him and then he doesn't have Venom powers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably me just looking at like the game mechanics and trying to figure out the story. But I was really hoping, I'm like, dude, if you could just be Venom for the rest of the game, that would be kind of sick to really kind of separate the two Spider-Man. But I don't know.
Yeah. So anyways, I think, overall this story, I think it's a little disconnected. I think, I don't know if it's the dialogue or some of the moments where it's just like super cringe to me, dude.
Yeah.
Like one of them sticks out to me where Miles goes and saves his girlfriend out of nowhere. And Peter's entering like the heart of the beast. And he's like, oh, I gotta go save my girlfriend. Wait for me. And he saves his girlfriend. And then he asks her out like right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, Peter's getting fucked up right now. Like it just...
Like, you knew there was, like, a time thing. You knew he's like, hey, man, I'm on my way. Yeah, I'm going to go fight this.
I don't care that he's asking his girlfriend out or whatever, but, like, now?
Yeah.
It was so cringe to me,
this
bro.
Beast
I don't know.
Just murdered the guy that swatted us around like we were flies.
Yeah.
I need some help.
And he turns around and he does, like, the fist pump. Yeah. And it's like, I get the moment they're going for. Like, he's a kid. He's, you know, everyone's been there.
Sure.
Not the right time, dude. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
That's the equivalent of Thor Dark World, where the universe is going to end, and this girl bumps into Thor on a subway, and he smirks.
God.
It's just, it's for the...
It's like, read the room. Like, what are we doing? Anyways, like...
But there is some cool, like, when you're underground, and you know, it's almost like this little horror thing, and, like, you're trying to find out, like, who the Venom people are, or whatever, like... For me, I think it's lazy when suddenly like everybody is just a symbiote and they're just trying to like take over the world. And maybe that's canon with some sort of comic through line. Like, I can't wait for Nate to actually play the game and see how everything goes and stuff. Hopefully he's not listening to this because I want any of that spoiled. But I don't know. Like, to me, it was just very like, it felt like a movie. It was just like, well, we don't really know what to do. So let's just CGI the whole thing and. Hive mind? I don't know. It's like it kind of takes away from Venom. I like the idea of having the different symbiotes and different stuff, and like there's a little nod to Carnage and things like that, but like that might be it'll probably be DLC, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like when you're fighting Venom or you're fighting like Mary Jane when she gets her symbiote inside. What was that, Scream or whatever.
I don't know who the character is, but
yeah.
I imagine it's...
But something. It's just like, those were cool fights and they should stand out, but it's like, I've been fighting symbiotes for the past 2 hours. Like, it's just kind of... I feel like they could have done something else. Like, taking over the world in goo is just not... Like, it makes the world... Like, suddenly I don't enjoy swinging around New York.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me...
Takes you out of
the game. Yeah.
It's almost like too big for Spider-Man. Yeah, it seemed like too much.
Or the fact that like, okay, Harry turns into Venom.
Yep.
He is destroying everything, kills 100+ Oscorp people.
Right.
And Norman's like, oh, hey, please save my son.
Yeah.
And it's like, 100%. Cool. So we effectively do that.
Yep.
We rip them out of the symbiote, we kill the symbiote, whatever, we save the entire city, And somehow Norman, because he's the Green Goblin and has to hate Spider-Man, is like, oh, I can't believe this Spider-Man or screwing up my life or whatever. And like, I get you're sad about your son and whatever, but it's like, he's not dead.
He's alive.
Like, he's in a coma. He's like, sorry, that's the best we could do. Your dude literally, like, your Connors guy literally told me to kill him.
Yep.
And I didn't do that.
Yep.
Like, why are you not mad at Dr. Connors telling me to murder your kid? I don't know.
No, I had the exact same time. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like you should
I was actually
happy.
Liking Osborn. I was just like, okay, like, cool. Like, he's kind of a creep, but, like, he's a businessman in that game. Like, not because I don't remember a lot of the first game or and I didn't play Miles Morales. But like in the context of that game, the only like if you're looking at just the facts, right?
Yep.
He wasn't that bad.
No, he wasn't bad at all, I don't think.
He wants to save his son. He wants to save his wife died. And he was just beside himself and crying and stuff. And he's like, I can't lose you. Like he seems like a genuinely okay dude. And then at the end is just suddenly like, I hate everything and now I'm going to go talk to Dr. Octopus and tell me who Spider-Man is. And blah, blah, blah.
I get that he's like broken now because his son is in a coma, but I don't buy the hate on Spider-Man. Like you should be thanking Spider-Man.
Right.
Like he could have just killed him.
Right.
And he saved him the best he could. And
I so thought they were going to kill him because it's like, okay, well then that's
would
an
be the
easy
catalyst.
Link
yes.
of like, okay, they killed
yes.
his son. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But
I actually was kind of upset when, Miles goes over and it's like, I'm just going to shock. So essentially, Spider-Man has like symbiote powers and stuff now that are like, but he's like white now because
the
he's like
anti-venom.
Cured.
Anti-venom.
Yeah. Which I'm sure is canon on some level.
Sure, but it didn't make any sense. But, I don't know how he got that.
Kills
Lee infused his power into him or something?
Something.
Also, Lee can enter your soul?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Sure. Did I miss that comic or what the hell? That was crazy. How can I don't know, whatever. I
but he's purified.
A lot of this didn't make sense to me.
They were reaching. They were trying to do their own thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
But
he
kills Harry. It's like a whole thing. And like Harry's begging him to and stuff. And it was like a meaningful like
yeah, I was tearing up. I was like,
end there, end it. And it's just like in my mind it was like, okay, cool, like Harry's dead. Norman freaks out and wants to kill and it's like and that's
the
next
that.
Game or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like no, now Miles has to go over and like shock his heart back and they kind of bring him back
that.
So they just kind of have
that.
Him there.
Yeah.
And it's just like man like
dude, commit.
You
I wanted more commit.
There was no payoff at least when like Aunt May dies in the first one. It's just
that
like,
was huge.
Right.
Huge moment.
So it's like in they stayed that where it's just like, man, that's a tough thing. So I thought they were going to do something along the lines where like Mary Jane dies or Miles dies, like something happens where it's like, there's a big
Peter
thing.
Dies. That would have been crazy.
Right.
Because like at the end of the game, they're like, Miles is the guy now.
Yeah. Like Peter doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
He wants
and it's
to
like,
do a foundation.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
For everyone who likes Peter.
Yeah.
But if you killed him and he has a meaningful death.
Yeah.
Like then you could be like, oh wow,
they're,
he went
they're
out.
Afraid because it's like, well, we don't want to like
don't have the
railroad ourselves. Yeah, like
yeah,
we want to bring
same with Harry though.
Yeah,
they want to have the option.
Yeah,
but I think I wish they would have went for it a little more.
Yeah,
It seemed a little safe.
Character
I guess.
Wise though, I think overall acting very good.
100%.
Yeah,
voice acting was great. Well, I guess that's more sign, but yeah, the characters were great for the most part. I love Peter Parker. Mm. He's like. Going to be my favorite character in the game. It's just I think it's the best version of Spider-Man. He's got the one-liners. He has like the nerdiness when he's Peter. He's more cool when he's Spider-Man, but still I just think they nail it and the voice actor is great for him too. It just really fits, especially for this one because he becomes darker. And this guy did a really good job with that.
Yeah.
So I forget what his name is, but he was like Sasuke in Naruto, so he's like good at the edgelord stuff. So I was really excited for the game because like I know that he has this is right in his wheelhouse. I like Miles too. I think like they didn't. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know if they utilized Miles to the best of his ability?
He's, no, we can kind of get it. I didn't know if we wanted to. Well, actually, no. I guess that makes sense. We can talk about this still too. They did so. Spider-Man. So Peter was the story, right?
Yep.
And Miles is like the side character who did the friendly neighborhood stuff.
Yeah,
is really what that boils down to.
Sure.
Where it's like everything that Peter's did was all about like the overarching plot. So like Kraven, symbiote stuff, and let's call it like the foundation stuff and things that have to do with Harry. That's Spider-Man. Everything else is like just Miles, where it's like, oh, I'm checking out my uncle's stuff and I'm doing the Mysterio thing and I'm doing, and it's just like,
yeah,
just these other things kind of thrown in there, where Miles, I don't know. It's just like he was just kind of there if you wanted to have electric powers when you need them. I don't know.
I wish they incorporated him a little better because he's the second main character. So it's like, I don't know. I just think he was kind of relegated to.
It
and
makes
also,
sense.
I didn't like that he's like, you know, Peter doesn't have time for me anymore and this whole thing. But it's like, I mean, you're Spider-Man. You should kind of like understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. If anyone's going to understand, it would be you. I don't know.
And like, I it might was be like, picking the, at he it has too to much. Like get into college. So he's trying to write his essay and he can. It's just like, it didn't feel like there was any like aha, like, for lack of a better term, like wow factor of like the story or different things. Like, it started out strong. It started out like, okay, let's see what's going on here. But like, there wasn't any real driving thing for Miles specifically. Like, Peter had all the motivation to do all these other things. And I think generally speaking, like as they were going like point to point where it's like, oh, Harry shows up, he's better now. Oh, let's do this foundation. Cool. And like, he puts in motion of like, oh, maybe I don't need to be Spider-Man. I can help the world this way and stuff and all that stuff. You see some growth there.
Yep.
With Miles, it was just like, maybe he'll get into college and ask a girl out. I don't know. Like, there wasn't a.
He's like the guy now, but I didn't see that because he was relegated to the small stuff. Like, but I guess at the end, I don't know.
He wasn't integrated.
But he wasn't like integrated. I wish he was.
He meets Harry like one time, right? Maybe twice. And it's just like.
Yeah. And they have like this weird rivalry.
Kind of. Like, it's like, hey, they bump into each other in like a park. And it's just like, okay, I'm going to go home now.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave. I was like, that would be a good opportunity to integrate.
Yeah, merge the friend groups.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, I think overall the story was okay.
Mm-hmm.
A little disconjointed for me and not a lot of payoff in some aspects. But like, I see what they were going for. I thought there were a lot, like you talk about wow moments. I do think there were definitely some really awesome moments where I had a smile on my face and like the whole Venom thing, dude, when he's just crushing people and the fight in Times Square is sick.
Yeah.
Like, narratively, I don't know if it pays off, but like in the moment, it was just cool.
It's a cool cutscene.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And I think most of the boss fights were cool, like against, you know, Crocodile was a cool fight. And
the boss fights were cool to the point of like spectacle and it's like, oh, I'm fighting so-and-so.
Yeah.
But the actual playing of it, where they were all the same, oddly enough.
Yeah,
like
I'm
the
talking
one that's
narratively.
Like, yeah, like varied in terms of like combat and stuff. It's just like Mary Jane was interesting because it wasn't just like most of the boss fights up to that point were just like you have two rounds, like you whittle all their health down, little cutscene, whittle their health down.
Yeah,
you beat them.
Right,
Mary Jane, you had to do it like four or five times.
Mary Jane's one was. I think it was too long.
Yeah,
like
that's the
I
thing.
Get it. Like, she's like, you know, all of the things she's keeping inside is kind of coming out now.
But you had to talk through, like, you had to do the whole narrative. So even if you were kicking her ass the whole time, it was just like they had to get all the lines out.
Yeah, it was like it was too long. I think you could have cut it in half, get the same point across.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt forever.
But what I'm saying is, like, that was the only one that, like, quote unquote, surprised me because I'm like, oh, there's a third fight. Oh, there's a fourth. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
I'm not saying it was good or bad. I just like.
Also, I think Mary Jane, obviously, maybe not obviously. It seemed like there were, you know, people loved her or hated her or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked her character. You know, she's really supportive. I think, you know, she's doing her thing with the journalism stuff, but It reminded me of Superman with Lois Lane, of Man of Steel, I should say, where like she's like, if you remember that movie, she's like a reporter and she is picked to go up to like the spaceship or something to meet with General Zod and stuff. I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. Like she is like the main character kind of, you know what I mean? Like she's in everything. Like Mary Jane just seemed like she was at the heart of everything. And like, I just don't know if that makes sense.
Dude, Mary Jane rides a motorcycle. Like, no, she's like jumping off her motorcycle and letting it skid through and like taking these sharp turns. Like it's not like she's some like combat
person. Okay, here's the thing. Like I tried to go into it with an open mind because I know people were complaining like, oh, she's too OP, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, let's like block out the noise.
She had a throwaway line. She trained with someone.
Yeah.
Who she trained with?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Shield? Anyways.
Sure.
Yeah, she has her taser or whatever. And like the first couple ones, I'm like, okay, you know, she's sneaking around and every once in a while she's got to tase someone. And, you know, even though these guys are highly trained, like if someone sneaks up on you with a taser, like, you know, you're going to go down. So I was like, I don't know what they're complaining about. But then as we gone on, man, it was like, oh, she completely dismantles a whole base. I was like, all right, just kind. And the problem with this is not that she's really good, but it lessens the Kraven's cronies.
Especially whenever, like, the fight right before this, I'm actually dying as Spider-Man as these guys are just obliterating me.
Like, she is so insane. And it's like, look, I don't know, man. It's just kind of takes me out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there's better ways to demonstrate that she's a great character.
Yeah.
You don't have to make her destroy a whole base by herself like she's in Far Cry or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's wild. And then at the end, when she can shoot the taser, I'm just headshot. I'm like, dude, why just send Mary Jane in, dude. She's two-shotting these like semi-bosses.
Yeah.
These mini-bosses.
Yep.
I was crushing them. I was like, bro, this taser is on a different level. So, I don't know. I think you just have to be a little more creative about how to make her a really well-written character and integral to the plot without just she can't do it physically, but like, let's think about ways we can have her be crucial without just 1v9 the whole operation. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion on it. But again, I like her character. People were complaining about how she looks.
I'm not sold on her looks. I'm not saying like Mary Jane has to be like some like crazy attractive whatever. I couldn't put my finger on it. She looked old.
She looked really different from the first game.
Well, so that's Peter, technically, but yeah.
That's yeah, like I just want consistency. Again, like I don't think she looked bad.
I think I said last week my biggest thing was like her eyes weren't shaded for half and apparently my game was just bugged as hell and we'll get to that eventually. Yeah, but like half the time her eyes weren't properly shaded. So when she's talking to somebody, her eyes were like super green and just white. And everyone else had like proper shading and everyone looked like realistic. And hers were, it looked like she was just like a deer caught in headlights the entire time she was talking. It took me just so out of it.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I don't know. I mean,
so, I mean, you touched a little bit on gameplay with her, where it's like it's taking you out of the web slinging and now it's putting you into like this kind of on rails you're going through and you're just like stealthing your way through.
Yeah.
So I think my biggest thing, and I think I touched on this last week and it really didn't change too much, is like the swinging around, even the gliding. Like, I actually like the gliding a lot.
I do too.
Fence with it, but like swinging around, like leveling that stuff up, like, all of that was awesome, stayed awesome, got more awesome as you got more used to it and like you're going around and stuff. And you felt a little tough in the beginning, just control-wise, as you get like back into swinging around and figuring that stuff out. But then by the end of the game, I was like, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing, how I'm dismantling people, like all that stuff. And I do take back some of the stuff where we were talking about being overwhelmed and different things. With just how much they throw at you. I agree with you more after getting more into like what you need from everything, because all of the abilities, all of the gadgets, share all of the different tokens and tech and all this stuff that you pick up. I never had what I needed, and that was super annoying, right?
Yeah.
But the one thing I did notice was as you're doing these abilities and you're unlocking these like additional things and whatnot, it seemed to be more integrated into the game than you just having to remember a new combo. I'm not saying the combos weren't there, that you maybe didn't have to like memorize some of them, but I found that how I was going into a match or whatever, or you know, a fight or whatever I'm calling it, I didn't really change up how I was, like, for lack of a better term, just like pressing the buttons, but how I was like powerful or how I was doing things or how I was doing like more moves or more gadgets or whatever just naturally unlocked. So it felt a little bit more organic, and I actually appreciated that more. And probably not doing a great job explaining it, but like, for instance, you unlock a thing where if you're punching a guy next to a wall, and I showed you yesterday, where like you go on the ground, you just start like bicycle kicking them like over and over again or something. That is just an unlock that you get. So you don't have to like change up how you fight. It's just now instead of punching them and you're just happen to be against the wall, you do this animation that's like super powerful. And they did a lot of those, which then like just made you feel stronger and stronger and stronger without having to like rack your brain on like, okay, now I have to remember this new combo and stuff. And I felt that they did a pretty good job with that.
No, I agree. And I said this last week when we shared our first thoughts with the game. It reminded me of something like Hi-Fi Rush at the beginning of the year, right? Where you get this huge combo list and I'm like using only like two or three of them. Because look, I'm not a fighting game player, man. Like I can't, my memory banks aren't that big. I can't, you know, my ability is not that good where I can do all these combos. But yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a unique, maybe not unique, but a nice way of incorporating strength. And if you're learning more moves, but you don't have to, because it feels like a waste, right? You're like learning all these moves, but you literally are not capable of like remembering them all. So maybe it's like a skill issue for me.
Yeah,
definitely is a skill issue for me, but that's like a nice way of incorporating a more casual player and like, oh yeah, like I'm beefier, I'm stronger now, but I, like you said, I don't have to go through these inputs. Yeah, but the fighting, look, it's very similar to the first game. I think if I remember correctly, the first game might have been harder, I think. They give you so many abilities in this game that I just, by the end of the game, I was destroying everyone. Yeah. You know, I had, nothing was on cooldown. You know, something was always up and I always had an out, whether it was a gadget or one of my moves, which, like, you know, I felt really powerful. So that's cool. But no, I think it wasn't broken, so they didn't fix it kind of situation where it's, the combat feels great, you know. I think it really worked in the first one. I think it works in this one too. It feels smooth. It feels nice. Spider-Man is just a great superhero to put in a video game. It's like similar to Batman. Like the fighting style just makes sense. You're jumping to people. You're beating the shit out of them.
Yeah.
You have these moves that make sense. You can web people up. You can, you know, you incorporate some of the gadget stuff. So I really liked the combat. I felt like Spider-Man. I felt like super strong and it was a lot of fun. And I felt like there were like these situations like you were mentioning where it's like in game, but these like cool things happen. Like they bounce off of a truck and then I throw them at someone else and you get these kind of cool moments, these naturally cool moments, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's, I like when a game can do that. Like they throw a rocket at me and I just web it at someone else and that creates a reaction. I combo that and into like this huge chain of events that I'm just like destroying everyone and it feels great.
Yeah. And I think that the organic part of it is awesome.
Yes.
I think where it kind of falls short is like anytime that you're not fighting something or like swinging around or like part of like the story mission or like cutscenes and different things, like it just takes me out of it like crazy. And it's just like, I know they're trying to do these new things of like, oh, you're doing like a DNA sequence mini game, or you're a bee flying around shooting other bees and rats and whatnot, and you're doing all these different things. And it's just like, why? Like, I get it. It's filler. You're doing stuff. But from a gameplay perspective, it seems so disjointed. It seems so unnecessary and like irrelevant, where like you have your fire cult or whatever that you're trying to figure out and do. You have all of Kraven's guys that you're knocking out and doing, and you have the Mysterio guy, you have like all these different things, but like they don't really pay off. You're not meeting new characters, more or less. You're getting like a recording, or you're getting a canned animation that you do 6, 7, 8, 9 times, and it just feels very repetitive for like not a good payoff. Like at the end of the day, it's just like you go in and it's like, yeah, I mean, it literally is just recording.
I think I don't know. Fire quest was stronger.
That was the strongest one, but I bet you that's setting up for the DLC.
Well, of course. Yeah. But yeah, that does have a payoff. We kind of get a hint of Carnage. We have What's Her Face, kind of new.
Yuri.
Yeah, new hero-esque. She was what? Was she like a police something?
She was in something. They mentioned her. Like, I can't believe it's you. And I'm like, I don't remember the first game.
And I think she was either a police person or. She was one of the people that would like call you and stuff. Yeah. I just forget what exactly her role was. So it was cool seeing her, like she's a kind of a anti-hero now or something. So I like that. But yeah, some of the stuff was just so like, dude, to me, it's like come up with two good mini games. Or like one good minigame.
Or do something that integrates it into the story where it's like you're searching for these things because it's positioning you better in the story. So if it's like, oh, Kraven's doing all of this stuff and you're trying to figure out where is he going to go next or what's he doing or different things.
Yeah.
Like, cool. But then like have the different things that you're doing around the city feed into that. Yes. Not have it completely sectioned off where it's like, here's this completely other... Storyline's even a really stretch, but it's not a storyline.
Right.
But it's like, here's this other thing you're going to have to do that's completely unrelated to anything going on in the game that means anything.
Yeah. To me, it's like, dude, let's look at a good example. Like Baldur's Gate does this perfectly.
Sure.
Where if you do some sort of, I don't even want to call them side quests because they all feel like they could be like a quest. But right. Like if you do something in that game, that character will come back later. It'll be involved in the story and somehow. You'll get more options, dialogue options. You'll get some sort of reward. Like they do just a great job of like whatever you do in that game matters in some aspect.
I think Horizon is a good example of that where Horizon, it's like you're going off of the beaten path, so to speak. You're doing this side quest, but like you're actually talking to other characters. You're caring about them for whatever reason. It's not just solve this one little puzzle that takes you 5 seconds and then your uncle calls you on the phone and says like, oh, that was my original hideout. That was pretty cool. And then it was like, okay.
We never mention it again. Yeah,
Yeah.
I got tokens to upgrade me. Yeah. It's like, why should I care about this?
Right.
And yeah, I think those games do a good job. They're not particularly connected to the main story per se, I guess, in some of those instances, but they like matter. Like some of those side quests in Horizon was like, wow, this is so well done.
Right.
Like, it's a believable situation. I cared about, you know, this person. It was a really interesting, mini narrative that we went on.
Like, you would have almost done better just swinging around the city and having, like, little tokens just spinning on the top of a building and just collect the token.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been more fun. Like, almost like a Crackdown era type thing where you're just running around, just grabbing the
orbs.
Very
old school.
Because you're having fun. You're swinging around. That's the fun thing. Anytime that you stop me swinging or stop me fighting, I'm having less fun doing it.
Yeah, I really, it just slows to a crawl when you do those, like, investigative scan the scene. Like, I was stuck on the one forever with the wires that you have to connect.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. But there's so many like little things that they're trying that it's just like, oh, I have enough information to reconstruct the scene. That's probably a line straight out of Batman. The difference is Batman's a detective and does this all the time, and it's a integral part of the game that feeds into the story.
Yes.
This one, it's like, let's see where Kraven was. It's like, how about you go to that helicopter you can see in the distance where dudes are rappelling down and just go after him? Like, why do you have to like reconstruct the scene or whatever for like what Black Cat that like you have a magic scepter?
Is
out
that
of nowhere?
Something, is that just, something like I missed? What was the point of that?
I don't know.
Just to put her in the game?
I guess.
I just really did not understand.
They had that rift apart Ratchet and Clank tech that they wanted to show.
Yeah, it was like a demo. It was like,
yeah,
that had nothing to do with anything. She
never
disappears,
again.
Goes to Paris, gone.
Yep.
Forever. Might be the last time we ever see her.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck happened? But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I know we're past narrative at this point. It just feels disconnected.
And I think that it boils down to, like, I don't remember a lot from the first game.
Mm.
Where, like, I feel like stories that actually, like, really hit with me, I'll remember and I'll keep them in different things like that. And who knows? I mean, it's been a while for the first game. But, like, this one, I can't imagine me being like, oh, yeah, this was such a great...
Yeah.
It was very cookie cutter. Like, if you know anything about Spider-Man or Venom or whatever, yes,
yeah,
they take some liberties here and there, but it's, like, very predictable. Like,
yeah,
to a fault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But... it's like, you know, is that what Spider-Man fans want? They want that
probably
structure. So,
but
you
at
know,
least
maybe
Batman, they did some. They tried some stuff, right? Like they weren't. And I'm not trying to compare the two, but it's just like,
it's a good comparison, though. I mean,
yeah,
right. They're very similar type games.
Yeah,
and yeah. Batman just hits.
if anything, like game. So staying on gameplay is like Spider-Man needs better stealth. If you're gonna do stealth, go all in and do it better. Like, you have it almost there, but, like, I can't tell you how many times I go into a place, and we were talking about this last night, where I'm like, dude, I could try to stealth around and take these guys out, knowing that it's not my own problem. It's I'm going to get hung up on something, or something's going to glitch out, or something's going to be wonky, and then they're going to see me anyway. So, like, towards the end of the game, when I was just like, I'm just going to beat this now, dude, I was just jumping in because he's like, okay, you have to connect the zones. I'm like, or just jump in the middle, beat everyone in 5 minutes, and then type on the laptop.
Yep.
And guess what? Craven's done. You know, like,
yeah, no, it just seems stealth, like, very outdated. I don't know how you do it better, but it was like, first of all, no crouch button. I think you hit the nail on the head there where,
yeah,
I just am like standing there in the corner like a doofus, and it's like, I can't hide. I have to be up top. Like, if I'm not on the ceiling, I'm not stealthing.
With Batman, there's grates in the floor, and
you can
grab him and then run into, you know, the grate and, like, go across the level and pop up and grab somebody else, and you can double take down.
But you can also be up top,
you can have, like, gadget. And again, it's apples and oranges, but, like, if you're going to, maybe not, because if you're going to do the stealth thing,
right,
do it right.
It just seemed outdated. Like, oh, I have to, like, it's literally, there's one way to do stealth. You have to create web lines, you have to distract enemies, and then you web them up. There's no other options. It seems extremely linear on how you can do it.
It turns into, like, if I'm going to quote unquote do stealth, I get up top, I see where the biggest dude is, and I do an instant takedown on him first, and then I just beat everyone else
out. Exactly.
And that's just because it saves me a fraction of a headache.
It's just more fun too, dude. Yeah. Like, the just absolutely eviscerating everyone. Like, the stealth was not fun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was very kind of tedious, and because it's samey. Like, good stealth or good mechanics is about choice. Like, oh, I can approach this from different angles, right? Like, I was talking to you yesterday, I think Cyberpunk does stealth super well because I can look at a base and I can start, oh, there's a window over there I can go through, or I can go through this way and my hacking's good enough where I can open that door. Give me choices. Give me choices in my gameplay. That's what's fun. You start crafting how you're going to approach this, and it wasn't there in terms of, like, stealth.
I mean, there's no benefit. Like, you don't get anything extra. You don't get, like, maybe, I don't even know. I didn't take a look at the XP as much, but there's no benefit to taking down a base silently.
No.
Right?
Like, yeah.
At all.
No,
so,
zero.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And then, so I guess sound design, jump in before presentation, but so voice acting was good.
Yeah.
How's the music and stuff for you?
Okay, so the voice acting is really good. The music was very hit or miss for me, actually. So there are certain points where it's iconic. You're swinging around New York. You have kind of the heroic brass sounds that we remember from, like, our childhood watching these movies. And that's peak. That's what we want. That's what makes you feel like Spider-Man. And that's like, it's kind of goes back to your point. Like when you're doing Spider-Man things, that's when the game's at its best.
Yeah.
Shockingly. Right.
Right.
So that's the best moment. I thought overall, like the music's good when the moments are really hype, you have these like cut scenes, the music's swelling. There's these pinnacle, moments that, really hit, but there are some circumstances like in the boss things where it's kind of lackluster. The music's kind of missing. The music's kind of melancholy when you're like fighting Venom at some point. It should be more epic in my estimation. I mean, you have these two super strong figures beating the absolute shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And the music didn't match the tone to as to what was going on. Like an example of that is when you're fighting Harry in the disconnected like football fields and basketball field thing, which I actually really liked the environment. It was kind of cool with the bright lights and stuff, you know, throwback to their childhood and stuff. But the music was very not matching the tone of what was going on. Like Harry's pouring his heart out like, this is our dream. I need you. How can you not understand? Blah, blah, blah. And Peter's trying to talk him down. It's like the classic friends things turn to enemies, which is, should be powerful and the music should match that. And I just don't think it did. And the music would just kind of like die off in some of these fights.
Yeah.
Like in the Connors fight, in the crocodile fight, it's like music kind of just almost stops.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just kind of go back to like Final Fantasy 16. Every boss fight was hype. And the music really, if not illustrated that, accentuated that and almost was the reason it was hype. And, you know, when I start comparing things like that, it's like, or Hi-Fi Rush. I mean, every boss fight in Hi-Fi Rush, the music is integral to the hype and the epic scale and nature of the fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't think it complemented what was going on as well
even,
as it could have.
Like, even when it was going, it's still just like very, here's a generic orchestral score.
It wasn't,
it's like, and not to keep up bringing Suits, but we always joke about this now because we have the subtitles on for Suits.
Yeah.
And every time music pops up, it's like poignant melody or like dramatic sad or something. And it's that kind of thing where it's like if there were subtitles on Spider-Man, be like, I don't know, generic action, whatever. And yeah, it's just,
it didn't hit as it should have. Like there was an epic conflict going on screen, like Kraven and Venom, and I didn't hear that. I just saw it.
I want like the, especially for something like that where you have like two titans just beating this crap out of each other. That's when you're calling in like, okay, get these really boomy like Sea of Thieves-esque like boss music type of
you
thing.
You want the low end there. You want loud, chaotic, right? And especially in that fight where you have two villains going against each other.
Right.
It should be super chaotic and nasty and loud and in your face and kind of like a Sea of, I mean, Sea of Thieves is more like epic and like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It didn't get there for me.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is it should be like almost like inspirational, epic, like, and again, I know I'm talking like Neanderthal when it comes to music, but it's the same thing even with like Harry and Peter. Like if they're arguing back and forth, like in the football field, it doesn't have to be like heavy brass, whatever. Like if you have like strings and stuff and it's like really, really sad, but swelling and just being like as they're arguing in it, because like they're going to be like escalating their arguments. So like the music should escalate with them as they're coming to this crescendo conclusion, whatever.
It has
to
match.
One of them is going to go down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. It has to match. Like it can be tragic. It can be sad and melancholy, but it has to match the energy of what's going on. Yeah. So like it should be, you know, whatever you want to do, you want to quicken the pace, make it louder, you know, whatever the case is.
You have to
do something to match the energy.
It's not bad. It's just forgettable. Like there wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And it did have great moments. Like I said, like when you're doing the iconic Spider-Man things, that's when it's at its best.
Yeah.
When you're swinging around, when you're, you know, you have these, you know, moments of just classic Spider-Man. It's like that's,
I mean, speaking to the sound design, though, like when you're swinging around and like you go too close to the cars and people are like honking their horns at you and everything, it's like that stuff's really good. And the higher up you are, the less you hear all the traffic and stuff. And the lower you get, the more traffic comes up.
Yep.
We talked about like the different, like when you're swinging, all the voice lines are like you're out of breath and you're swinging around and like, it, you know, it,
that's it incredible.
Feels really, really good.
I love that.
Versus if you're just standing still, you're talking normally.
Yep.
And they nail that, like I would say at least 90, 95% of the time. Like sometimes you can kind of trick the system where like if you're already in the middle of a voice line talking normally and then jump off a building, yeah, you lose it until the next line picks up. But
yeah.
Overall, it's pretty seamless. Like they have a pretty good idea of like what, like they almost predict what you're doing before hand.
Yeah, I think like that's pinnacle sound design. That's like definitely going the extra mile, and that kind of immerses you into the game. It's like, wow.
Do you
that's
use
like,
headphones
when yeah, you play? Yeah.
So did you catch any of this stuff coming out of your controller as you were playing?
What do you mean catch?
So like a lot of the stuff in like out of the PlayStation 5 controller.
Mm-hmm.
So like as you're whipping around with your webs, like you're hearing that sound effect coming out of your controller.
Oh, really?
Every time your phone rings, it's coming out of your controller. Yeah.
I was more focused on like the vibrational aspect of it,
which is I would put that on presentation, but like that's integrated. Right. Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I think overall the sound design is really good. Like we touched on the voice actors who did a great job. Yeah. I think.
Well, I mean, go to presentation. I mean, talk about the vibration.
Well, I was just gonna say really quick. Hilarious moment with Miles' mom when she's calling Peter and he's like apologizing for being a dick.
Yeah,
and she's like, just make sure to answer, you know, when I call next time. And then I got into a fight and he's like, I'll call you back. And I hung up on her. It was the funniest shit in the world. And then I call her right back. And I'm like, yep, never will never happen again. It was the perfect moment. And I was laughing my ass off.
So they do that thing, which God of War did a lot, where like you're getting this monologue when you're like just paddling around in God of War 1. And it's like, all right, we'll pick this up later or whatever, you know?
Yep.
And it's the same thing there, but you just get the symbiote off. You're like trying to make amends with everybody. You call Mary Jane. Mary Jane's like, all right, well, I guess I'll forgive you. Hey, let's move in together. And it's like, oh, okay, hold on a second. You're just like, so what were you going to say?
Yeah.
I'm going to spend my life with you. Yeah. It's like, maybe you could like not fight like the thugs or whatever for that
so
one second.
Funny.
Yeah. Like they do a good job as best they can with
mm-hmm.
that. Part of me thinks that I think the next step further would be like continue the conversation while you're fighting people.
Yeah.
Like that could be kind of interesting and on certain things.
Seems like a classic, like you're beating the shit out of people and it's like, oh, I love you too. And then I'm so excited. And you're just like,
and they did it with one of the missions where like Miles is talking to like, I don't know, the dean or the headmaster of some college or something.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do like his like enrollment interview or he like, and I thought they handled it maybe not the greatest because it was like, dude, you, I don't know what they were trying to go with, but like you're fighting while you're talking to the guy, but like he's like over the top like, oh well, I don't know, like I don't know if you remember that part. It's like towards the beginning, but like,
well, I think
it was okay.
Oh, Peter, you're talking about Peter.
No, I'm talking about Miles. So Miles was doing, it was like something where you're trying to find, it's like one of like the school missions or something.
Oh, those are so,
and you're trying to find like you're trying to find like this woman teacher or something. And like you find her, but it's just a bunch of thugs and like you save her, but it's like, why was she captured by a bunch of thugs? Like,
dude,
what?
I blocked out all those side missions. Those are the worst side missions.
Very bad.
Anything that was like, I don't know, dude. Like, I get it, friendly neighborhood of Spider-Man, but we can't have something more interesting. I don't know.
I just
feel like we could dig a little deeper here.
Yeah.
Like,
let's find the mascot.
We're like helping out for prom or something.
You're like, you're moving mirrors and lasers and stuff.
Like,
and
what
it's
are
like,
we
dude,
doing?
It's clumsy.
Okay, this is not friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. This is like literally.
Yeah.
A normal person can help with this. Like, it makes more sense when it was like they
call the police.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Like, they were stealing the art or whatever. That made a little more sense. That's at least we're fighting criminals.
Sure. And they kind of had that where it's like, okay, we're the museum stuff that they were doing and whatnot.
It's like, okay, that's more, but like, why are we helping out of the school?
Yeah.
That's great. I don't know. Anyways,
you're like taking pictures all over the place and it's like, okay, but like the funny thing is, even if you take a picture, the picture that you get in your album is not the picture you took.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Like,
it's not like
you, the point.
Like, I hope no one tried to like set up these like perfect composition things, because it's not going anywhere.
I remember one of them. It counted, but it was literally a picture of just like a pipe was in the way.
Yeah.
But it counted.
Sure.
So I was like, this is so just.
Dude, I got to the point towards the end where I was like gliding in, flicking the camera up, clicking, and then just gliding out. And you're gone.
That's hilarious.
It was just busy work, man. I don't know.
100%. Anyway.
What were we talking about? We were talking about the.
We're moving to presentation.
Yeah. I lost it. But yeah, it was just like, it seemed so silly for half that stuff that it's just like I don't care.
Yeah, it's I think there's a better way to handle that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm always of the mind of like, if you put in the effort to like be creative about even these like side things, you can get there.
But like, look, the animation's good. Like, we want to talk about presentation. The animation's good. All the little touches that they do here and there are really, really cool.
Yeah.
I think overall, like, two things in the performance. One, runs really well.
Yes.
When it runs. Now, you had zero issues. And zero. I was talking about this last week.
I thought this game ran amazing.
I hard crashed. What did I tell you? Six to eight times. Hard crashed in there. A lot of Mysterio issues. Anytime I would go into Mysterio, it was a crapshoot if I was actually going to like be able to play through it, or if I would have to start over. Which for something like that, where you're going through and it's like, oh, to get like the, because these are like challenge levels or whatever. It's like, oh, get through 30 guys without getting hit. And it'd be like, I'd be like on like 27, no hits. And then my game crashes and stuff. And it's just like, that's so frustrating to start back over.
Terrible.
Lot of that, a lot of checkpoints not showing up, a lot, and like I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or if it's doing something wrong. I got to the point where like if I couldn't find what I wanted immediately, I didn't even try. I would just restart checkpoint, and sure enough, I always get like the okay, this is where you're going now or whatever. And the saving is good enough that like I never really lost anything, but boy, does it take you out whenever you like. I'm in the middle of I think it was when you're with Mary Jane, you're running from the symbiote for like the first time underground or something. You're like trying to get away.
Yeah.
And like, it just crashes. I'm like, dude, talk about just ripping you out of like a tense moment that you're like, oh, what's going to happen whenever she's trying to like talk to Peter and stuff.
Right.
And it's just like, man, there's so many bugs. Like, I showed you one where like this dude just had infinite health. So I clear out this entire neighborhood of guys or whatever. And there's this one dude that I am just pummeling around and knocking him out and like doing finishers on him, like he just gets right back up. It's like, oh my goodness.
Ugh.
So you got to redo that whole section. Like that's the kind of stuff that annoys me, where it's just like I don't know how there are like animations where like I got shocked by one of those like flying craven birds or something on Miles, and then it just kept doing the animation on me, so I was just sparking. And I had to switch to Peter and then go back to my, like, I was changing costumes and stuff. Like, how do I get off of this? You literally had to switch characters and like basically reload the world and stuff, which was insane to me. So like, that's the bad part.
Mm.
But then like the good part is like, have you fast traveled yet?
Yeah.
In that game? That's freaking awesome.
Might be the best fast traveling of all time.
Yes. Because it's
amazing.
Instant. It puts you in, you know exactly where you are. Yeah. And it was amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That feels next gen. That's the most next gen feeling thing that I think in that game personally.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. That's an interesting question. What is the best fast traveling method ever? That's one of them.
Yeah.
It feels fantastic.
Yep.
It's tough because you do describe all of those issues that you had, and I had zero. So in my mind, it's like this game runs fantastic. It's locked at 60. It looks great. The graphics in this game I thought were really well done, especially like I think the character models and the animations are really well done. Like I was talking to you about like how, you know, they have like the mannerisms in which they have, like when they're just having normal conversations, is just very realistic to me. Like the head tilts, the hand gestures, things like that. I will say, which is annoying, which we talked about, I think, last time. Games need to do a better job of like you're walking behind a character and it's just like exposition dump. It's just so clunky and like I'm walking awkwardly. I'm bouncing into things. I'm like turning and it's like, just have me on rails for that.
Yeah.
To have me on rails. It doesn't have to be like a cutscene. Like it could be in-game graphics, but just have me on rails where I'm not controlling. Talk to me. Maybe like I'm walking and I can turn my head and look at things, but it's, I don't like that. And one of the things that pisses me off the most is I'm too quick for the guys. Yeah. So I'm like doing these stutters when I'm walking behind someone talking to them.
Because like you pick like the slightly shorter path, like you're whatever like in a straight line, they're walking around.
It's a little better here because I had a controller, but like when I have games on PC where I don't, where I have to, it's like on or off. I'm like jittering, and it's, see, I just like, hate that in games.
And this goes back to like the next gen side of things is they do this in this game where like you have a cutscene, you get like I don't know flung out a window or you get pushed out the XYZ, but then you immediately get control of your character
and
it's like all the graphics line up. There's no cutscene there or no loading scene or anything like that. It's flawless. So like we've hit this level in video games where you can get that. So like why are we walking around just to like quote unquote make it somewhat interactive? Because I don't know if there's like some like graph where it's like, well, we have to have a user like touch a controller so often to do XYZ.
That's an interesting point.
Cutscenes can't be so long, but like I would much rather have a cutscene. I would much rather like not
like
have to clumsily walk around.
Yeah, the one example that I think of is when Harry's showing you the, you know, the startup company or whatever, and you're just going around looking at the different projects, which is like cool, but like you're walking behind him and he's talking about the thing, like do a cutscene and then let me go look at the projects
if you
in
want
free room, if you want, or you can just turn around and talk to Harry again. Right.
Yeah.
Give us the option. I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was like, oh, look at all the, you know, I could interact and I could look at things and I could talk to people. And it was like, I like that. But like, give me free roam at that point, but like when I'm talking to Harry, cutscene.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. So
it seemed like the cutscenes too were a little bit more organically quick. So like in the cutscenes, if, you know, whenever they're like testing out like the symbiote stuff and they're like, okay, well, what can I do here? It's like, they were talking more naturally. They were talking faster. It was more energetic and things like that. But whenever you're like in the environment and you're talking, it's just so, it feels slower. It feels duller. It feels like you're just like, I'm not excited about this at all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what do these do? Oh, these bees do blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's real cool. Like,
I
don't care.
It's like filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, there's attention to detail in
the cutscenes. You can't skip
anything. Yeah.
That's the thing. He's like, you can't skip anything. So every time I talk to like those big, hey, let's splice together DNAs of whatever, it's like, hello, Peter. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, please.
Just let me do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think overall, like the game's a great looking game.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic looking game. I'm amazed that we can just swing around New York City that quickly and it's locked at 60 and it looks great. Like you don't see a huge sacrifice in quality. At least I don't. And for a PS5 game, man, this is as good as it gets in my mind. It's just a beautifully looking game. Runs great, at least for me. And I like the costumes are always so good. I think the costume design
is great.
Yeah,
costumes are really neat.
There's nothing better than just putting on your, whichever Spider-Man's your favorite, putting on his suit is always like the best feeling. Like I put on the Tobey Maguire one with the, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, like the glass kind of eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, it just brings me back.
Even that's cool because like if you get those eyes, then in those close-ups, you have like reflections in there from the ray tracing, which
so
is like,
cool.
It's super neat.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Like the little touches are impressive.
Yeah, it's really interesting how like some of the details they put into this game are like super specific and awesome and like definitely are applauded. But then other things are so throwaway, kind of lazy. It's very strange dichotomy there.
The amount of thugs that you're fighting versus like actual bad guys, name guys, characters, like you're talking to like just no name people 90% of this game. It seems so weird compared to the first one. Maybe I'm just not remembering the first one, but it was like you're having these like lengthy conversations with Doc Ock. Like you're seeing this transformation.
Yes.
And with this, it's like, here's a bad guy. All the other bad guys from the other game are like good now, apparently, or dying. And it's just like, and now there's Venom and he's crazy. Like it felt like you're just taught, and I don't want to, it's good to ground you and talk to your mom and whatever. Sure.
Yeah.
But like, you don't have Aunt May. You don't have like yeah, you can talk to Harry and you have some moments, but it's like there are none of these like really meaningful interactions in this game. It's a weird thing.
Like
I said,
to go back to kind of the beginning conversation, Kraven just seemed, they left a lot on the table.
Yeah, there was a great intro.
There wasn't a great intro, and there wasn't that moment where it paid off. Like we said, it was like you need to end me, and then. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. There's no payoff, I guess. It's like, I don't really understand where we're headed towards. Like, okay, you wanted this hunt and we never really kind of pay that off. Like I said, all the revelations come when you're snooping around and you don't even confront him with that really.
Right.
There's like a couple throwaway lines where it's like, oh, you're doing this cause you're sick and you just, or trying to whatever. But
you can find that out stuff like at the end too. So it's like all the extra little bits. So like if you're cleaning up the rest of the hunters and you're knocking out these strongholds and stuff like that, you're getting all that at the end.
Yeah.
Kraven doesn't have a head by that point.
Right.
Like he's dead. Venom takes all that away. Yeah. And then it's just like, okay, well, I guess that's it.
But look, the Venom Kraven fight was sick. Like that's one of the best moments in the game.
It's really cool. It's and really it has cool. nothing to do with Spider-Man.
It has nothing to do with Spider-Man. So it's like, I don't know. What do you know?
It just seems like a cheap thing because you have all these like build-ups, all these things that
like could you still have had that fight? And then Kraven survives, and then you get the final payoff against him or something.
Or
where Peter goes too far because he's controlled, and maybe that's his awakening where it's like, oh, this isn't me. He's looking at Kraven dead, and that's when he kind of breaks out of the
Or pick the big villain. Is it Kraven or is it Venom? And then either the other guy teams up with Spider-Man to take somebody out. Like it's one of the, like they do in the cartoon. The
cartoon, yeah. You were talking about that.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
It's just you can't have two like juggernaut. Like Kraven was such a cool character that they were like really bumping up, and then it just kind of
didn't go anywhere. Yeah. Didn't go anywhere.
It's like, oh, what if we got? Wait a minute. It's like they were building up Kraven, and then they get like a call, and the guy's like, "Hey, okay, we'll give you Venom." Oh, what? Ooh, we have Venom. Oh,
okay. Erasing everything. Yeah.
They're like just scrubbing out the second half of the game.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. So I think I
100% of the game. We didn't talk about this. So everything that game has to offer, I did.
Yeah. So you're speaking from experience.
21 hours.
So, you know, keeping that in mind, what you feel comfortable scoring it? I mean,
I absolutely feel comfortable scoring it. Yeah.
So what are you? Yeah. Where's your head at?
So I'm looking at the high 80s.
High 80s.
High 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, because I think that doing Spider-Man stuff,
yeah,
really, really, really good.
Yep.
And if you were looking at it just from like a holistic story arc thing that lets you do the Spidey stuff,
yep,
really, really good. The reason why I don't see it hitting that like in the 90s and different things like that, and like even like upwards of that, is because everything else I don't like about that game.
Yeah.
Like by rights, I should go like mid 80s with just how many like bugs and crashes and different things like that. Mm. But like I still swinging around, like it gameplay wise, traversal and just all the cool little things and like the acting, like it's very good. It's just all the other stuff they put in there to make it like a 20-hour game instead of a 12-hour game, I think is not good.
No, I tend to agree with you. My mind was, I put it at an 86 specifically.
Okay.
So it deserves a gold tier. Like what the game does, it looks fantastic. It runs great. All, like you said, all the Spider-Man things, traversal, the small things that they incorporate into this game, like through the sound design, things like that. Voice acting is great. I think the story, while I think it could have been better, I don't think it was necessarily bad. So I hope it didn't come across as like, I hate the story. I think the story was fine, but I think they left a lot on the table. It didn't totally offend me, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It wasn't like, oh, this story sucks. It was like, it had more potential. It had more juice in it, I think.
I think my thing with this story is Nate really likes Spider-Man.
Yep.
And I know he's excited for this game. And yes. I'm just going to maybe text him before this launches. Don't listen to any of this.
Yeah.
But, like, he really likes that. I mean, he has an entire sleeve dedicated to, like, Venom and Carnage and everything else, right?
Right.
So it's like, I think tattoo in his sleeves, mind, yeah. We have the Sinister Six and we have the symbiotes. So that's like, and Spider-Man, like, holy crap, this is going to be the best game ever.
Right.
And I think he is going to be so disappointed with the story in terms of like how they bring the symbiotes in, how the Sinister Six is quote unquote you, because they're not at all.
Yep.
I just think that like for someone that loves Spider-Man like that, I think Spider-Man's cool. But like, it doesn't give you a compelling reason to.
Yeah, I just think it could have been tighter, right? Yeah. It could have been a little tighter, I think is the best way I can put it. And I was really hoping that it was, because it was such a short game, not super short, but shorter, that I was like, oh, this is going to be a really, really tight experience. Like, really, they know exactly what they want. They're not going to waste any time. And I was surprised that we didn't get that. There was some, not wasting of time, but. Like I said, it's hard for me to put, you know, describe it exactly, but disconnected and not as streamlined as I thought it was going to be, and not just as clean as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a clean, concise story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, they got there, but potential. I think potential wasted a little bit. But it deserves gold. It's a great game.
They mechanically have and everything, it's solid.
They have the formula exactly, and the things it does well, it does amazing, and the things that aren't good, like you said, are boring.
Yeah.
So, but I think it deserves gold, but I don't think it deserves any more than that. It just deserves to be in that tier. It deserves to be in that tier, but it doesn't wow me any more than that. There are some cool moments. There are some moments where I was like, this is sick. I, you know, like the Croc fight where Peter's being a dick.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The Venom versus Kraven was great. The Venom destroying everyone was great. But
I mean, when you're putting God of War 1 and 2 together, and when you're doing Horizon 1 and 2 together,
yeah,
it's like there are these clear leaps. And yes. I don't think Spider-Man's cool.
Yep.
I didn't feel, and granted, I just don't remember the first game as much, or even Miles Morales for that matter, but it's just like, I didn't feel like oh my gosh, this is so much better than the other game. Like, yes, I understand there are other things, and oh, now you can go across the water, and you can do other, like, they improved it, and the fast travel system's cool and everything, but it didn't feel like there was this like huge, like, holy crap, like this is a true sequel. It feels just kind of like more.
Horizon was like, I wouldn't say night and day, but it's like there was a leap.
For me, Horizon was more in the side stuff. I was shocked at how much I actually cared about every little thing that wasn't the main quest line.
Right.
And God of War was just like, holy crap, like look at all these characters. Like, I think the narrative. Characters and narratives and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, God of War was fantastic. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe they played it too safe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the game, it's a solid game. I think it definitely deserves gold. It's one of those games where it's like, you should play this. You're going to have a good time with it. There's going to be things you really enjoy about the game. And it's to a quality that deserves that level. So that's where I ended up.
Yeah. 86. Chisel and Stone.
Oh, you're just good with that?
Yeah.
You said high 80s, so I didn't know
if
you
wanted to bump it up a little. I was trying to kind of meet you. I expected you to put it higher. So
no, yeah. I was surprised. You know, it's sitting at a 91 on Open Critic, and I'm usually either consciously or subconsciously, I'm usually like right around that number. So I don't know if that I'm being influenced by it, but I was lower. I was not significantly lower, but lower for sure. Just I don't think it's not a 90s game to me.
No.
It's not in the 90s. What's the last 90? Did we put, I'm trying to think of the games we've rated this year. Did we put anything in the 90s? I mean, Baldur's Gate, obviously.
Resident Evil.
Hit it. But dude, Resident Evil was tight. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't waste anything in that game.
Right.
You know? And they have the luxury of it's a remake, so, like, the formula is there, but...
Yeah.
They set out to do something, and they completely accomplished it.
Yeah, right now, Resident Evil, we put Hi-Fi Rush is a 91.
That game, too.
I put Dave the Diver up there, and then, yeah, Baldur's Gate.
Hi-Fi Rush was great.
Dave the Diver's great.
I gotta play that. That's so fun.
Dude, I tell you what, Alan Wake.
We'll see. That's all on you, buddy. I've done my quota for horror games this year, so.
Yeah, I've played more horror games this year than I literally like left horror. My room and I told Chelsea, I'm like, I'm having night terrors tonight.
Yeah.
Like already.
I don't like horror, dude.
Yeah.
I was surprised it had Dead Space. I was like,
yeah.
Although Dead Space, like, look, I don't know. Can you fight back in Alan Wake? Or is it more of a just like a classic? Like,
I haven't even seen an enemy yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me put it this
way. Dead Space is good because, like, at least I have control. Like, I can fight.
Yeah.
You know, I have the option. Yeah. But.
Dude, Alan Wake, I've already had, like, 3 jump scares, I think. And the only bad guys I have seen so far have stabbed me and gutted me. Like, literally.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Don't like that. Yeah, I don't. When you have no agency, and you're just running, I can't do those games, bro.
If it's anything like Alan Wake 1, you have to like hit him with a flashlight, and then you can
shoot him. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Nah. All right. Well,
yeah.
That'll be fun. Yeah, it's getting great reviews.
If you like Spider-Man, play Spider-Man. It's good.
At the end of the day, that's definitely, all right, that's all we got. If you made it this far, we appreciate it. Check us out. couchcomedy.games. We'll put the Spider-Man rating on there. You can see our other ratings for this year. Stacked year. We have Game of the Year coming up soon in December, early December. The nominees are actually coming out while you're listening to this. So that's something Monday.
Okay.
We'll touch on that next episode for sure. Yep. And then we can start for, you know, kind of prepping for Couch Co's Game of the Year 2023. It's going to be exciting. This year has been unbelievable in terms of games. With that being said, you know, stay tuned for next episode. We'll be here, same time, same place. Thanks for joining us on